Welcome, everyone, back to Social, the Power of Relationship podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're going to talk about the five love languages from Gary Chapman. So Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages, and Josh has a quote from the book.
Yeah, so I like this quote a lot. He says, "I am amazed by how many individuals mess up every new day with yesterday." Isn't that great?
It's great.
I do that all the time. Yesterday's gone. Let's just move forward. But you like live in the past a lot.
Yeah, that's a great quote. Yeah, I'm gonna think about that one now for a while. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
How do I mess up my today from yesterday?
Yeah. How do I live in the past, and how can I not let that go? So we're going to talk about the five love languages and how it connects to building relationships, right?
Yep. So for those who have never read the book or don't know the five, they are words of affirmation, gifts of service, gifts, quality time, and physical touch. And we'll go through each of these. First one here is words of affirmation. When you go to their website, you can go to their website and take this test that tells you which ones are your top love languages, which one you feel the most love from. And what's important about knowing your love languages is it helps you be aware of why you feel more love from some people than from others, and how you can express more love to those in your life according to their love languages.
Right, because certain people value different things. And so if you have, you know, a relationship with someone, and a lot of this is written from the perspective of like a marriage relationship, but it applies to every relationship you have.
It does.
But if you have a relationship with somebody and it's kind of a struggling relationship, it might be because you feel like you're not loved in that relationship because they don't know how to express that to you. You know, you might have a love language of a physical touch, and they don't know. So that's not normally how they express their love. But they might have a love language of service, and so they're serving you, but you don't feel loved because they're not physically touching you. You know, yeah,
they don't see the service.
Yeah.
Because they see love through physical touch or physical gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. My top love language is words of affirmation and gifts of service. Those are my top ones. When people give me compliments, that's probably the best thing. I feel great. I feel like I'm on cloud nine when someone's like, "Man, Jason, you're so," like they give me some type of compliment of what I've done or something, and that makes me feel appreciated and loved. It really does. Well, my bottom love language is gifts and physical touch, which is interesting because when I was younger, physical touch was one of my biggest love languages. Making sure I got that hug from mom every night, you know. But now it's that one's a lot less, and gifts is another one. Like I don't like things.
Yeah.
So, and it's hard for people to give me gifts because of that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, thanks. I have no idea how I'm going to use this.
Yeah.
Normally what happens.
How long do I need to hold on to this before I get rid of it?
Right.
It's cluttering up my house. But not, you know, I'm the same. Like, so gifts are my lowest love language as well. Because I just, we're both like minimalist a little bit, right?
So a little bit, yeah.
So it's like, I don't want stuff. But my top is quality time, and it's close between quality time, words of affirmation, and touch. I'm pretty high on all three of those.
Oh, cool.
But I really appreciate quality time when someone and having deep conversational connection with people.
Yeah.
And so if somebody doesn't know that, and if that's not how they express love, then it's hard to feel a deep connection in a relationship, you know?
It's true. In my family, I'm I'm very aware of my family's love languages. So I have my parents, and then there's 7 kids altogether in my family. I'm single. I'm talking about, like, anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And each of them have top love languages.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad's is a gift. What was it? It's gifts and quality time is my dad's top. My mom is words of affirmation and service.
Mm.
These three are the ones I spend most of my time with, is my mom, my dad, and my younger brother when I go visit them. His is physical touch and service.
Mm.
So, and words of affirmation comes close after that too. And so accordingly to those love languages, I do different things. So I'll wash the dishes for my mom,
mm-hmm.
and I'll talk to her and make sure that she, I point out what I appreciate. You know, I've noticed that she's done something different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll point it out and compliment it, so that's what I do with my mom. My dad, I just recently realized that gifts is one of his top. So I don't give out gifts that because it's my least favorite,
mm-hmm.
then I don't really give out gifts. But now that I'm more aware of that one, I'm looking for opportunities to give physical gifts to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I compensate by doing the quality time.
Yeah.
And so my dad, he'll tell me that he needs something done, and then I go do it. And I'll either do it with him, mm-hmm. Which is much better because then that gives us some time to talk,
mm-hmm.
Or I'll just do it, like take care of the garden for him, fix, he has this tarp garage next to the garage to hold his boat.
Mm.
I've gone over there and fixed it a couple of times because the wind's blown things off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I give, long story short, each person, when you're aware of their gifts, their love language, it makes those bonds even stronger.
Yeah.
So strong.
Has there been a relationship in your life that was weak and then you realized their love language and strengthened that relationship by speaking that language to them?
Yeah. My dad has definitely been one of those ones where it's kind of come and gone. My mom as well. And all of them. It's been a little time here and there of just being more aware and finding more opportunities to give those services. Do you have any your life?
So, like, I've known about the love languages for a long time, you know, for years. You know, I heard about them a long time ago, but I haven't really ever spent a whole lot of time. I've never read the book or anything, and I haven't spent a whole lot of time practicing it. But I do think that. I've followed certain principles at times that are simpler, that I think are more universal, you know, things like, just making sure somebody feels heard,
mm-hmm.
listened to, and then appreciated, you know, making sure that somebody feels valued. By listening to them or by, and so it's like on an individual basis. So like I probably should try doing a little bit more of the love languages myself, but, I'm also somebody that I think it's sometimes I think we overthink things a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I don't think that it was like, well, nobody could ever have a healthy relationship until, you know, 1995, whenever this book was written, and right. now only now we have healthy relationships. Like, I think it worked. And so I like to kind of simplify things myself and just, how can I make a connection with somebody, a deep connection, by making them feel valued,
mm-hmm.
you know, making them feel like I, value them and value their thoughts. And so while I think there probably is a lot to be gained from from practicing some of the more specific principles in the book, though. Yeah. So I don't mean to discredit
the totally
ideas, because I think they're valuable, and I think that they're pretty true, you know. But
it gives us a place to start with because our relationships can easily grow naturally. Because our love languages could just mesh so well together without even trying. Mm-hmm. And what's nice, this is more for on the lines of when your relationships aren't working, kind of gives you a platform to analyze it and to see it with a different perspective. Oh, so my love language is different than my partner's. So then I need to be more, or I need to move in this direction more, you know, to make them feel more valued and loved.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about the book. And I liked reading the book. What's great is you can read the first couple of paragraphs throughout each of the books, and that explains how each a love language works. And then, so it's a fairly fast read if you go through that. And the first couple of paragraphs give you the explanation, and then it gives you a lot of examples afterwards. Mm. And most of those examples relate to personal relationships between someone you're dating or someone you're married to, or on those lines. I also want to take it one step further of moving this onto online platforms and to how do you use these love languages to your benefit online, like social media gives you opportunities to showcase your love languages, and they don't say it that way, obviously, but if you notice it, it's very, very interesting. Like Twitter uses a lot of words of affirmation and quality time. Like if you ever if you've ever tweeted some rock star or football player and they actually responded back to you, they're giving you some time, and it's quality time, and you've got one-on-one with them, and that's kind of mind-blowing that you can talk to your the people you admire and get a response from Twitter. So then you have YouTube, which is more of a physical time thing, or physical touch. I know it's not physical touch as a physical, but we all have empathy, and we all can, through someone's actions, can feel what they're feeling. Mm. And through videos, you can see that, you can feel that. Mm-hmm. And that's how YouTube plays a part in so many ways. And it also does a whole spectrum of that. I mean, there's gifts on YouTube where the video alone is a gift that you're, a physical gift that you're giving, in a sense, because you've spent time creating this thing and then uploading it onto that platform, and people are then spending their time watching it, which also means a little bit of quality time. Not a lot, because it's not a one-on-one unless it's live, which is then quality time, you know. Mm. Then you have Facebook has a mix of all sorts of different things, but there's ways where you can showcase your love languages through social media to an audience, and also to a one-on-one. But you just have to be aware of how that works.
That's interesting. I had never thought about it that way. It's probably got some truth to it. I think in that way that we can make the social media platforms more authentic and more valuable. I have a tendency to kind of dislike a lot of the social media platforms, just because I think it takes away from real life interaction and connection. But there's probably a way, like you're saying, to add more value to them and to be able to connect a little bit more authentically with people than we do online. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I've received a lot of that expression too about social media, how it pulls away from our reasons to connect with each other more than drawing us closer. Mm-hmm. And I can see where that's coming from, especially when people abuse social media. Mm-hmm. I've always found that it brings me closer to people because it gives me an opportunity to see what's going on in their life, if they're sharing things about their life. And it's also given me an opportunity to get closer to them and connect with them.
Do you feel like it creates an almost a universal attitude of lack of vulnerability? I mean, I think that there are a number of people who are sincere and vulnerable on social media, but I think the very essence of it, of the fact that it's editable, the fact that it's, we're seeking likes and we're seeking, so like Instagram, is, for instance, is one, like you take a picture of yourself and then you edit it and make sure it looks perfect, right? I mean, having you take like 20 or 30 pictures to make sure you get the right angle, the right lighting, the right everything. Then you edit it and then you take, you write your caption and then you edit that over and over and over to make sure it sounds perfect, right? And then you put it on there because I think we're kind of like afraid of the vulnerability of looking imperfect. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a little bit of that in most of social media because there's like a,
I can see that
there's like a disconnect between the actual person and the avatar that's on the, on the screen. And so it's like, it's about like, it kind of inadvertently like feeds the desire to not show anything imperfect and to just like edit it so that you present this idea of what of a perfect person or a perfect
what you want to portray.
Yeah, but I think there are a number of people who have utilized social media to express more vulnerability and those people you do I think feel a little more connected to.
I've had a couple of relationships that have digressed and I know the other person blames social media for it because they've expressed it on social media, how they dislike this because they feel like they've lost connection with their friends. Mm-hmm. But in reality, that connection would have been lost anyway, just because we've all moved away and we don't, I don't want to take the time anymore to develop a relationship because they weren't as much of a value in my life than before. And social media allows me to still stay connected with them if they allow it. But they don't see it that way because I think what happens is their number one love language is quality time. And they see quality time as face to face. And that's one thing that is difficult to give on social media is that quality time. And when that person's not receiving their number one love language, then they feel abused and disrespected and unloved. Which is hard. It's hard to compensate for that one love language than the rest of them.
So I think that the point kind of for this conversation and this part of it is that we can choose to use social media in a way that utilizes these love languages and that we can make more authentic and more vulnerable and we can actually connect a little bit better on social media if we understand someone's love language and we use it for the intent to connect rather than the intent to entertain ourselves or to escape from reality or whatever.
Yeah. And I also have relationships that have grown even more because of social media. There's one of my favorite cousins. She lives in Texas now. And if it wasn't for social media, I would have no idea what she's up to.
Yeah.
And she's had another baby recently. She's been posting a lot about her family and what her little boy and little girl are doing. And I've been able to keep up on that because of social media. And I can make my comments and let her be aware that I'm aware. I see her. I see what she's doing.
Yeah.
And that keeps the relationship intact. It keeps that conversation going, even though we're not face to face. We're not we're not that messaging one-on-one as often, but we don't need that to still feel value from each other.
I think that there is value to be found in social media, definitely. You know, yeah. It does allow people to connect who wouldn't normally, I think, be able to as well. I think my premise is just that I think it's a lesser connection than a real life connection.
Yes.
And probably always will be. I mean, it definitely, in my opinion, it always will be lesser.
Yes, and probably than a face-to-face, lesser. One-on-one.
Yeah.
I can see that, yeah.
Even over the phone, like, you know, talking voice-to-voice, I think is better than just, you know, commenting on a post every now and then or liking a page. But it definitely has value because it does help allow us. We can use it to forge some nice connections.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And one way that I've also used social media is I advise that you actually share more about your life and then just sharing what other people share.
Yeah.
It's when you're just sharing memes and funny cat videos, you're not really sharing what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Which means that you're not really connecting with other people. Yeah. So for me, it takes time to create a short video. I haven't done this recently, but because of so many different reasons, but in the past I would take a video about what's going on in my life and just kind of talk to the camera and then post it on Facebook. And that allows me to connect with the people who are following me on Facebook in a very intimate way.
Yeah.
It's almost like having that phone conversation with them.
Yeah.
But I don't have to. In fact, I'm having that conversation with everyone, and then they can leave their comments below. And I've gotten some negative feedback from that as well as positive.
Yeah.
Because I might have said something wrong or misspelled something in my comments, and but that's all right.
I think there's a great value in that, actually, and it's in the vulnerability of it.
Yeah,
like that's we struggle to be vulnerable in real life too. So the strength of a connection or the power of a connection, I think, is in the ability of each person to be vulnerable, to be real, and be willing to be seen as they are, even though they're flawed and imperfect. So like sharing how your thoughts and feelings in a video is a pretty vulnerable thing. And that in that way, I think social media can be pretty valuable because you do, I think, make more connections that way.
You do. And I've stopped recently just because I felt too vulnerable.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't been. It's been a couple of months.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to make that video and just post it as is with the low light quality and
poor sound quality
and people knowing me as being a video videographer and I'm posting these videos that aren't that great tends to make people judge me as not as great of a videographer. But I have to let that go, and I'm still trying to let that go in the sense that this audience on Facebook isn't the audience that I'm trying to impress for my videography career type of thing. And it's not even a career that I'm pursuing as much as other ones. But
yeah,
anyway.
That's interesting. I do think there's value in that. See, and that's my thought, I think the love languages. To me, the love languages are secondary to vulnerability.
Yes.
So if you're vulnerable, if somebody else is vulnerable, I think any two people can make a real connection.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So thanks for listening, guys. And what are your thoughts on the love languages? What are your languages, and how have you been able to use that knowledge to connect with the people in your life? Leave those comments on Twitter or on our Instagram page. We'd love to hear from you guys. Cheers.
See ya.